It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heat, and Cooling and Electrical Studios. And, of course, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Teron Davenport joins us now. TD, the Titans have requested interviews with Matt Nagy, with Eric Bieniemy. Your interpretation of the Titans going out and requesting interviews from guys that don't come from the Shanahan system, from the offensive system that the Titans run, and your thoughts on those two as being potential offensive coordinators for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I think both of those guys would be really good options. And when you look at Eric Bieniemy, people will ask, well, why would he make the move? He does call plays at Kansas City. He's not a full-time play caller, so it is a move that could be made to where coming here, he would be a full-time play caller. And I think, you know, you're tapping into one of the best offenses. And obviously, it's a lot different when you don't have Pat Mahomes, but I still think Bieniemy would be a plus. And when you look at Matt Nagy, a lot of people will focus on his time with the Bears as the head coach, which for the most part wasn't good, but there's a reason why he got a head coaching job. Now it's because he was a very good OC with the Chiefs. So I think both of those would be really solid options. They're guys that, you know, are established and proven, and they would come in and really help the offense without a doubt.
Now, TD, this weekend, I think sort of validated, well, not sort of, at least in my eyes, it validated my argument last year, and it's validated my argument this morning that, yes, you can keep Ryan Tannehill, or, you know, if you want to go out and get Tom Brady, then so be it. But from what I've seen this weekend with the quarterbacks that I saw, it's imperative that the Tennessee Titans go out and get their quarterback this year. Because if they don't, I think they fall further and further behind the AFC, not just their own division, but I mean AFC in general.
Yeah, that's something that I could reason with. I just don't know who's out there to go get. And I like Bryce Young an awful lot. I don't know that I would move heaven and earth to go get him. Now, if you're talking to me about Caleb Williams next year, yeah, I would say you do what you got to do. But I don't know that there's a quarterback out there to be had for them. And I think, you know, when you look at what they've been able to do with Tannehill, I know he's not a 5,000 or even a 4,000 consistent yard passer, but I still think they could get it done with Tannehill under center. But you know, when you have that type of situation, you have to be perfect around him, and that's something that, you know, they've struggled to do as of late.
Now, how's it looking from the GM standpoint? Guys have been interviewed. I know they had a handful of interviews this past weekend. They're going to continue to interview guys moving forward. But do you think they're closer to finding their next GM, or you think they will continue to go through the process of interviewing guys?
Yeah, I think they're closer. They did say they're going to go through the process of interviewing guys. I don't know many candidates left. You know, Ray Farmer is a guy that comes to mind who used to, you know, be a GM for the Browns. That's a possibility. But as far as, like, direct candidates associated with them, I don't know of any as of yet. But, I mean, you look at what they've interviewed already, you know, the caliber of guys. You know, Ian Cunningham, who has spent time with the Ravens and Eagles before being in Chicago. Here you look at Glenn Cook, you know, dating back to the time with the Packers. You got Malik Boyd, who has been, you know, instrumental in what the Buffalo Bills have. So those are guys, you know, Rand Carthon, a really good candidate out of the 49ers. You know, he's helped build that team. So you got some really good candidates. Quentin Harris, you know, with Arizona. Those are all really good options, including Monty Osifor and Ryan Cowden. So they've already gone through seven. I don't know of any new names to be put into the mix, but we'll have to see how this continues to play out, because they're going to have to get it done soon, because you need to get down to Senior Bowl. You need to get started on this whole process of you know, prospect evaluations.
Teron, we were sort of saying this in the context of when they made the decision to fire John Robinson in the middle of the season. You know, there was a lot of us were wondering, did they already have the candidate in mind? It really looks to me, anyway, you know, I'm bouncing it off you for your opinion, is I don't think that she had the next candidate in mind because of the extensive list that they put together. There's a lot of people, I think, with interest in this job and a lot of different backgrounds here. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think they have a candidate in mind. And, you know, one of the things that I really like and I have to commend them for is, you know, a lot of times organizations, they'll hit the Rooney Rule by, you know, hey, we'll interview a token guy. They went out, five of the six external candidates, you know, not including Adam Peters, five of those six were minorities, you know. So I really, you know, I want to shout them out for that, because that is definitely, you know, giving the kind of leveling the playing field, giving more people an opportunity rather than just going right to, hey, we got this guy in the building, let's just give him the job.
That is noticeable, that part of it, Teron. And so I do wonder, and I just brought this up, and here we are on Martin Luther King Day, and of course it was such a sensitive issue last year with the whole fallout from the Brian Flores thing, and it does look like, you know, if you look at historically with this franchise, you could argue that just they're sort of due. It's time to hire a minority there. But it has to be the right person. I understand that part of it. But it does look like there's a really good chance that they might hire their first African-American or minority general manager.
Yeah, it does look like there's a good chance. And, you know, come to think of it, one other name, he hasn't been in football, you know, for a couple of years now, but Rick Smith is a guy I wonder if they would, you know, reach out to him, being as though he has history with Mike Vrabel back when they were with Houston. And, I mean, he did a really good job building that roster before Bill O'Brien tore it down.
Teron, I wonder what the questions are in terms of, if you're the GM, hey, what do you, like, how much do you think these candidates are asked? And we can't know this, but what do you think of our roster? Like, do you think we should break it down? Do you think we can run it back? What would you do either way? I wonder, you know, how the philosophy of these candidates matches with what Mike Vrabel thinks. And like we said, it's hard for a coach to say, yeah, let's go through a rebuild. Coaches probably aren't wired that way as much. So who are the other people sort of leaning the other way to try to have those checks and balances?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's something that I wondered, because, you know, the people who are in on the interview process, they're not exactly football people. So, you know, it's hard to get down and talk about the nitty-gritty part of roster building. But I think really when you look at it, it's all about looking at that plan that said candidate has, you know, some of the things that they feel that they could do in order to build the roster and get it back to the point of where it was just 2 years ago, right? You know, because you look at this time a couple years ago, I mean, we're like, hey, this team is the number one seed in the AFC, and now here they are 7-10 and, you know, ending the season on a 7-game losing streak. So how can you get it back to that? I think that's a question that can really legitimately be asked in these interviews.
Teron Davenport is with us, and kind of to piggyback off of Willie's question, what do you think the Titans are prioritizing when looking at their next GM, when they're conducting these interviews? Is it history of talent evaluation? Is it, you know, fitting into this culture? You know, what are they prioritizing? When the day comes when the Titans announce their GM, what will that GM be best at, or what will their career really stand out as?
I think it's more going to be on a culture and finding talent standpoint, which is, you know, that is the job, right? You help establish the culture, and you add talent to the roster. And I think the ability to draft and develop talent is going to be a big part. So the drafting part of it, hey, that's the GM working with the head coach and Mike Vrabel to develop the talent, is a part of the collaboration. And if you notice, that collaboration that's a word that, you know, has been mentioned multiple times when they're discussing this GM search.
And last one for you, TD. Ian Rappaport reported over the weekend three teams that Tom Brady would be interested in going to next year: 49ers, Raiders, and the Titans. Is that something that you think the Titans should be interested in, is pursuing Tom Brady?
Well, I mean, anytime you could get a chance to at least look at adding a guy like Tom Brady, what it would do for your roster, you should definitely consider it. I don't know if it's something that they should, you know, pursue all out, but it is something I think you have to at least consider. But, you know, when he comes in, that impacts the OC also, right? Because he has his offense that he runs. How is the OC that you hire going to be able to, you know, work with that? We've seen it work in at times. You know, we've seen it clash too. So we'll have to see how that plays out.
And I guess when Tom Brady comes in, he is your offensive coordinator.
Essentially.
Teron Davenport, we appreciate you joining us, as you do every Monday at 1 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. TD, we'll chat with you next week.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you. Take care.
Coming up next, you know, the Titans have requested interviews with Eric Bieniemy, with Matt Nagy.
Got to interview people from outside, but the fact that he's
what do we think? We'll get into that coming up next. And of course, your thoughts: 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063. The game.
It's a good team to ask. They score a ton of points, and they scored points, you know, before Mahomes got there, because it's, you know, it's the Andy Reid, you know, system. And so I think that that's interesting that they might be willing to say, hey, you know, we might need to start looking and doing things a little bit different way.
There you go. That was News 2's Corey Curtis on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. And I think that is the biggest thing. Again, the Titans requesting interviews with Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy and Chiefs quarterbacks coach, former Bears head coach, former Chiefs offensive coordinator Matt Nagy. I think beyond the interviews and however the offensive coordinator position comes to fruition, the biggest thing to me is the Titans requesting those interviews, because neither of those coaches run the system that the Titans currently run. Both of those coaches run the Andy Reid, Philadelphia, Kansas City offense. Mm-hmm. The Titans run the Shanahan West Coast offense. So that, to me, the fact that they're requesting interviews for those two is the Titans showing, hey, we're looking into doing things possibly a little bit differently next year. That doesn't necessarily mean that they are going to go with either of those two. Per Josina Anderson, Eric Bieniemy is focusing on head coaching interviews. Matt Nagy has not responded to the request yet, but it's still the Titans saying, hey, we could go out there and change our system.
Ghosted by Matt Nagy.
I think,
you know, honestly, probably what it is with Matt Nagy is more than likely he won't get another head coaching job no time soon. But if Bieniemy moves out, he gets elevated. Yeah, so yeah. I can understand why. Like, I listen, thank you, but no thank you, Titans. I'm going to stay put, because just in case Eric Bieniemy leaves.
I'm going to hold off.
Exactly. Then I get elevated. Then you make yourself more attractable for a head coaching job years down the line. Either guy, whether it's Bieniemy or Nagy, I think first thing is first. Are you willing, and we've talked about this early in the show, are you willing to change philosophies? Well, you are given a perception that you are, because you want to interview these guys. You've reached out to Kansas City. Can we interview these guys?
And you reached out to both of them.
Exactly. So you're willing, like, okay, if we don't get this one, then possibly we can get the other. Uh-huh. So you're willing to sort of change what you're doing from an offensive standpoint. But then you got to ask yourself, are we in a position to then go out and get the players to fit this system? Are we willing to spend the money to go get the players in this system? Are we willing to part ways with guys that are already on this team, guys that have been key cogs in what we've been doing, guys that have been leaders on this team? Are we now willing to move away from those guys or move forward with other guys that may fit the system that either Nagy or Bieniemy will bring?
And boy, you can't help but just the first guy that comes to mind is Derrick Henry, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all – there's a lot that revolves around that mm-hmm. with him, and he's under contract. Remember, they redid his contract last year.
Mm-hmm. But I think he had a good year.
It's not like he's, like, really sliding down. He's – at that point, we're like, I could argue that, hey, let's roll it back again. He's still really good. And I could also argue, look, he's going to be 30. It's time to scale it back a little bit. What's the best way? And then what do you pay a guy like that? Like, taking Kansas City and really that whole offense, those guys don't pay for running backs. They don't pay a dime. They find the right guys who can do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. They mix and match, and they get production that way.
And the running backs are an extension of the pass catching core in that system, especially with Kansas City.
And that's not Derrick Henry.
That's not Derrick Henry. And to your point, I mean, he was the second leading rusher in the NFL. You know, he's still a
he brings a lot to the table. Absolutely. And not only that, but with the locker room. He's the leader. He's the unquestioned spiritual leader of the team, right? He's the heartbeat.
But
so you're changing a lot if you're taking him and changing his role.
But my thing is this. If you keep Derrick Henry, say if you keep him, you say, well, no, we're not going to even go down that road. Well, you're keeping Derrick Henry for him to retire here, I think, past the season. Because if you bring in a new offensive coordinator, things are going to change. And what you're saying and what Amy is saying, no, I want Derrick to retire a Tennessee Titans. He's here no matter what. That guy is staying. If you're not going to stick with Derrick Henry, then you need to trade him this year. You need to get rid of him this year because I think this year he has the most value that he's going to have moving forward. He's coming off a 1,500-yard season. He would have been a leading rusher had he played in the last game. Good thing he didn't play in the last game. You look at the Chargers and what they did. Mike Williams got hurt in the game. That didn't mean anything, but there you go. But this is a guy that arguably could have been – he could have won the rushing title again.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do anything with Derrick Henry, it needs to be this year because you're going to get the most value for him if indeed you want to trade him.
And the value is only going to slip for a 30-year-old running back. But I think the question with these two offensive coordinators, there's two questions. Why would they want to come here? And two, what is attractive to the Titans about those two? And why they would want to come here? Bieniemy, a lot of people are saying it would be a lateral move, which, yes, technically the job title, you would be going from offensive coordinator to offensive coordinator, and your job would be more difficult because you're doing it without Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and you're doing it without Andy Reid, an offensive guru. But then you would be lead play caller. Your role would elevate. You would have more responsibility. Like TD mentioned, he splits play calling duties with Andy Reid, and I have to imagine it's a very Andy Reid-influenced play calling system. So he would be the guy. He would be your offensive coordinator. He would be your offensive guru. He would be your offense. So that would be technically an elevation for Bieniemy. And then for Nagy, it's you get to be an offensive coordinator. You get to play a larger role. You know, you're a quarterback's coach in Kansas City. You didn't get very many opportunities after you got fired in Chicago. You get the opportunity to be an offensive coordinator. That's the attraction. And the quarterback situation with the Titans isn't necessarily set. Mm-hmm. The offensive coordinator that comes in gets to come in with potentially a blank canvas. Who do you want your quarterback to be? What offensive system do you want to run? We can tailor all of that to what you want to do in the future. You can handpick your guys moving forward.
Yeah, you can. So that's going to be, you know, it's. I'm not saying it's a dilemma, but, you know, it's a lot for this organization to think about. Again, the shift this offseason is critical for the Titans. They've already fired the GM. They're looking for another GM. They fired their OC. They're looking for another OC. They need to get – while you're hiring your OC, you're hiring your GM, after you do that, conventional wisdom tells me that go get your quarterback too while you're in the process. Go get your next franchise quarterback. Again, doesn't mean you got to move on from Ryan Tannehill. Doesn't mean you can't still go out and get Tom Brady if you want to. But – new GM, new OC. I need a new quarterback in the future. I need to get me some guy because they're not going to be that bad of a team to be able to draft the kid out of USC next year. They're not going to be that bad of a team. If we believe Mike Vrabel is the coach that we say he is, they're never going to be that bad to be able to draft in the top five, top two. So why not try to move up in the draft now, whether it's Stroud, whether it's Young, whether it's Will Levis. One of those guys, you got to evaluate them. So maybe Will Levis is the guy for your franchise. But you would never know if you never try to move up to get one of these quarterbacks.
Well, if they do think that he's the guy, you got to do what you got to do to get him.
Exactly.
But if they don't see a guy in this draft that they're like, we don't really see any of these quarterbacks being our guys of the future, well, then you run it back, and then you wait to see which guy is your quarterback of the future. Nate is on the line. What's up, Nate?
Good afternoon, y'all. And I'm sorry if I'm bringing something up that y'all talked about before. I haven't been able to listen to the whole show today.
I was listening to Tyron's call, and I don't really understand why the front runner would be Miami. And Derek, I know you can help us understand a little better, but wouldn't you kind of think that Tom Brady is a little more hesitant to go Miami because of the Tua situation? And he might think that, you know, what if I go there? Am I going to be in that predicament?
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah, but I think the Miami is all – they're in a conversation because they don't know what's the future of Tua.
Uh-huh.
This is the guy that's had three concussions. I know they didn't count that first one as a concussion, but anybody with eyes can see that was a concussion. And subsequently, a couple of weeks later, he has a concussion. I think it was a week later or 2 weeks later, he has a concussion. And then he has another one. So the Dolphins have to evaluate, you know, their quarterback position based upon, you know, Tua's injury situation. He may not ever play again, or he may be one more concussion from never playing again. So you have to, as a GM, you have to look into possibly bringing in another quarterback. That's the only responsible thing to do for an organization that has receivers, tight ends. The defense is pretty good. They need to elevate that a little bit more. But their offense can score with anybody. Now, if Tua can't play or you're still hesitant about him playing, then you have to look outside to potentially go get Tom Brady.
And I think Miami being the front runner, I think a lot of that comes down to the pass catchers.
Uh-huh.
You've got Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, one of the best duos in the NFL. And then Mike McDaniels, what's the future with him? Because Sean Payton is still out there. And I know that ever since, you know, the Chargers blew it in the playoffs against the Jags, a lot of people are saying Brandon Staley's getting fired. I would agree. I think Brandon Staley's days are numbered. A lot of people are saying, okay, a marriage between Sean Payton and Justin Herbert, that's exactly what this team needs, an offensive guru to really help Justin Herbert, you know, get to his potential. That move makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But Miami and Sean Payton make sense to me too. I mean, and Tom Brady going into an offense with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, coached by Sean Payton, that to me seems obvious almost. And Tom Brady has a house in Miami, so I think that's why a lot of people are putting Miami and Tom Brady kind of in the same conversation.
We were texting the three of us a little bit yesterday after that Dolphins game, which was such a fascinating game from a lot of different ways. Like Buffalo really struggled and overcame a lot of real big goof-ups to beat a team that's playing with their third-string quarterback.
Right.
But, like, as you're sitting there today in Miami and you're assessing, let's take away Tom Brady, let's take away Sean Payton just for a moment, but you're trying to assess the season, right? You're like, okay, you know, when we had everything rolling, we looked pretty good. Like, we beat Buffalo. Like, we've beaten some teams. But a lot went wrong. What's going on with Tua? You got a first-year head coach. He was brilliant in a lot of ways, but mismanaged some things yesterday. He's a young head coach. Can he get better? I think Mike Vrabel has gotten better in that area the more he's coached, right? So what do you think of that going forward? And you're trying to win now if you're Miami. This is – they've gone through the tank for Tua. They went through the whole thing where they were almost got in trouble for tanking, right? They almost were – and I think they – they got off a little easier than they should have on that, honestly. But now you're trying to win at this point. So I can't see them firing their coach after 1 year. But on the other hand, it's like, hey, it's time to get it done down there. But that's an interesting thing to unpack that whole season. It came at you from a lot of directions. They went from being a team that was surefire challenging for the division to barely got in. And then should have gotten blown out yesterday, but almost pulled it off.
Game.
Yeah.
And I think it was mismanagement by Mike McDaniels yesterday that if they wanted to justify firing him, they could for his mismanagement of the game yesterday. And I think if they did decide to fire Mike McDaniels, I think it would be less about him and more about the potential of getting Sean Payton.
Yeah.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your phones next. I see your phones lining up. We are right to them. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game and the Game Nashville app. Right to your phones, as promised. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So we've been discussing the Ian Rappaport report that came out over the weekend that Tom Brady is interested in going to three teams, 49ers, the Raiders, and the Titans. We've got a lot of texters in our text line saying, enough, you know, Brady doesn't want to come to Tennessee. Brady's not coming to Tennessee. Enough of these rumors. I'm not talking about Tom Brady to the Titans just to talk about Tom Brady to the Titans. It was a report that was put out there. I mean, Tom Brady.
Don't shoot
Tom
the
Brady's people are the ones giving this to Ian Rappaport saying that he'd be interested in coming to the Titans. So it's not something I'm cooking up. But
whoever his people are, they're happy we're talking about this. That's
exactly.
For sure. They're not texting into the text line and saying, stop talking about this.
And that's what
they're
I
like, hey, keep going, man. This is good. Get my client out there.
I do want to know the intention of this report that came out. You know, why are Brady's people, which I'm assuming this is coming from Brady's people, his agent, or maybe the Brady himself, why? Why leak that information and why now?
I mean, it's sort of unfortunate because, you know, he's heading into wild card, you know, super wild card weekend, as they call it. And this is an important game for them. Yes.
Wouldn't you be a little upset?
Yeah,
if you're the Bucks, like, hey, look, we're still in this thing.
Exactly. Like, y'all called
it more. Can you not wait till we're done?
Exactly. So I don't know, honestly, again, and this is just me. I don't think it's Tom Brady saying, you know, these are the places that I want to go. I think, you know, because it's easier to assume, because he's a free agent now, he's not tied to any team, mm-hmm. that, you know, we can say, well, these are the teams that he has the potential of going to, whether it's Tennessee, Oakland, San Francisco, or, you know, the dark horse, possibly Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the way Tom Brady seems to be wired, I don't think he wants any distractions during the playoffs.
No.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it was his camp that is putting it out here. I think it's just the assumption by possibly Ian Rappaport that he's a free agent. He may not go back to Tampa. And if he doesn't, these are the teams that he could be that he would be interested in. I don't think Tom, you know, I would like to believe based on past history that Tom didn't say, okay, this is who I want to be. You know, these are the few teams. Now go put that out while I'm now in playoff mode. If this happened during the season, then okay, I can see. But playoff mode, Tom Brady, I can't see him wanting these interferences, this distraction for his team, period.
But can Ian Rappaport go with assumptions?
Oh, yeah, he can.
He's an insider.
He can say.
He says something,
you know,
and it's taken
but that, as. But that can be, you know, Willie being, you know, somewhat a part of his Tom's crew, but outside of the crew, they're saying, yeah, he's a free agent. There could be teams that he think about going to like he did last or 2 years ago. It could be Tennessee.
Right.
It's not conceivable to think it didn't come from Tom Brady.
Guys, and let's keep in mind, there's very little detail.
Exactly.
This was an interview that he did. It's not a report he had with a lot of details or two or three sources, unnamed or named, whatever. It was kind of I'm riffing here. Like, it sounded like he, I hope if he's going to go with that, he's got something.
Right.
And not just.
I don't think you can just.
Like,
say
Stephen
that.
A. Smith or somebody on a show like that can just. He can just say, this is what I think.
Well, it's fodder in opinion.
Right. He's
a
reporter. And he should be reporting. So I'm curious, too, with this game being on NBC tonight, what do Mike Florio, what do some of the other guys, do they say, well, yeah, I've been searching on this Tom Brady thing. Here's what we think. During the broadcast, do we hear the broadcast bring it up? Especially if the Bucks are losing, do they start speculating? Which most people think they, you know, I would think that broadcast would, right? If they're down two touchdowns and there's 5 minutes to go, hey, what do you think is next for Tom Brady? That's going to come up. Mm-hmm. Remember the game
totally. In
Foxborough where the Titans beat Brady? Throughout the night, Tony Romo and Jim Nantz were talking about this could be it for Tom Brady. This is it. What's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
That was a couple years ago. So that is going to happen tonight. So will they echo what Ian Rappaport said? Will they go against it? Will they have some new information? These are all things to look for tonight,
and
I think.
It's absolutely going to come up.
Yeah, I think it would, especially under the circumstances that you presented, Willie. If they're down two touchdowns, 5 minutes left, then it's, yeah, okay, he's a free agent. Could the swan song, you know,
yeah, and who's interested? What
off?
Teams will be interested?
Yeah, what teams will be interested? And these are the teams that, you know, we are hearing could possibly be interested. So,
like, if Mike Florio comes in and says in the postgame show,
I've talked to some teams.
The Titans are in it. Then I think this really takes another step. Like, but if Rappaport ends up on the island and he's the only guy, and there's nothing from Schefter, there's nothing from there's nothing from Florio, go down the list. Then you kind of say, well, what does he really have there? What is there really anything to this?
I just think it's
I think it's unlikely. From where I sit, I just think it's unlikely to start with that all the ducks could get in a row and he comes here. But hey, the report's a report.
Yeah, I mean, just me looking at the circumstance, Tom is a free agent. 2 years ago, there were a few teams, and to me, it's just the same teams that we were talking about 2 years ago. You didn't bring me anything new that, you know, Ian Rappaport didn't say, well, from the sources, these are the new teams. He basically regurgitated the old teams. Now, Tom could want to go to just those three teams or four teams, but it's nothing new.
And those teams still make sense.
Exactly. They still make sense. So it wouldn't be like – it's not out of the realm of possibility that he could potentially go to the same three teams that we talked about 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so. Matthew in Nashville, Texan, says, instead of bringing in Brady, why don't in 2023 give Ryan Tannehill a really good offensive line, a competent offensive coordinator, add another wide receiver to pair with a healthy Burks, and if he fails, then you move off of Ryan Tannehill. I think that is a fine solution. Mm-hmm. I think that it is totally feasible. You run it back with Tannehill, run it back with Henry, spend the offseason retooling and filling in the holes that you need to fill in that weren't addressed last year. You need an offensive line. You know, you need another pass catcher because Robert Woods ain't in. You know, you need an offensive coordinator that's going to be able to, you know, work this system, whatever it might be. That is a totally fine solution, is running it back. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, if Brady is interested in coming here and you don't have to give anything up to get him, explore it. It's Tom freaking Brady.
Yeah, I mean, you have to kick the tires a little bit. I mean, you can't just, you know, turn your back and say, nope, we don't want a part of it. But if you go out and you run it back with Ryan Tannehill, get the offensive line a little bit better than what it is, because it's still going to take them a minute to gel. That's just offensive lines too. And then you bring in a new coordinator. Everybody got to figure out the system. If it doesn't work, you know who's at fault now? Vrabel.
Yeah.
Vrabel's at fault now. Uh-huh. Now his job is on the line. I'm going to go back to this season, this upcoming season, off season. It's probably the most critical offseason they've had in a long time. You know, GM, OC, trying to find them new, need to get your franchise quarterback. If this thing doesn't work out next year, then there may be some rumblings about then Mike Vrabel, because you've done all the things that you were supposed to do. You changed the offensive coordinator. You got a better team, or you thought you had a better team. You added some pieces here and there. And if you still can't beat the Jaguars and can't win that division, then now we need to start pointing at the guy running the ship. Not that I want to get Vrabel fired. I think he's a good coach. But the buck has to stop somewhere. At some point, you got to – you know, it has to be pointing at the head coach.
Yeah. So. Do you want to go see Nate Bargatze? And I'm sure you do, because he is freaking hilarious. So you will have an opportunity to go see him. Willie's got a trivia question for us. And the first right answer to that trivia question will win a pair of tickets to see local comedian Nate Bargatze as he goes from Old Hickory to Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, April 15th.
All right. Here is your trivia question for the day. Nate Bargatze has Vanderbilt ties. He is a Commodore fan. Big, big win for Vanderbilt against 15th-ranked Arkansas on Saturday. It was an emotional game. It was a spirited game. In that game, Liam Robbins had a huge second half for the Commodores. He led them from 10 down to winning by 13. Here is the question. What number does Liam Robbins wear? And why am I asking that? It's the same number I wore back in the day for the Commodore. So, yeah, I'm going to slide that in there a little bit. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. You must call. You cannot text the answer. Caroline, you're going to see the text line. It's going to go. Somebody's going to.
Every time without
fail. Every
fail.
Time, but you can't win the prize that way. If you want to go see Nate Bargatze, call Nick Kieser. What number was the big fellow wearing on Saturday. He's a pretty good player, by the way. I think he's going to play in the pros someday. I think he's an NBA guy. Liam Robbins, playing really, really well.
All right. Again, be the first person to answer that trivia question correctly. You'll win a pair of tickets to see Nate Bargatze at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, April 15th. Coming up next, we've been talking a lot about Tom Brady, and he is playing tonight. Our thoughts on Brady and the Cowboys coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Answer, Nick.
Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heat and Cooling, and Electrical Studios. And, of course, you can watch us streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. All right, we've got a Brady-Cowboys matchup, which I'm sure the NFL is just salivating. That they get this game in the wild card round, Brady-Cowboys. I'm sure that they are just thrilled about it. Spread on that game is 3.
Yeah.
And Jerry Jones has already come out and said, he's like, you know, Mike McCarthy's job is not in question regardless of what happens. He said Mike McCarthy's not getting fired. I don't know if Jerry Jones is going to come out and say that, if it's incorrect or if it's not true. But I can't imagine if the Cowboys get beat by this crummy, crappy Bucks team because of what Mike McCarthy did or some dumb decision that Mike McCarthy made in game. Like, if the Cowboys just go out there and cowboy it away tonight, I can't imagine how the Cowboys bring him back next year.
It's Dallas. We know it's going to be drama. There's drama that goes with Dallas. No question about it. Real quick, let me tie up the loose ends. We do have a winner in the trivia.
Okay.
Kevin, congratulations. You're going to see Nate Bargatze. Thank you for knowing that it was number 21, Liam Robbins.
All right.
Now, who knows if Kevin had no idea about me. Or maybe he's like, yeah, I watch Willie play. I don't know who Liam Robbins is.
No,
but
Kevin
that
knows.
Donick, I remember Donick 21. Yeah.
Kevin knows for sure.
Yeah.
Kevin's a big Willie
Liam's
guy.
Jersey is a little bit bigger than mine because he's 7 foot. But so the size probably doesn't quite fit. But he's a good player. Good win for the Doors. They got Alabama coming in tomorrow night. Ooh, big, big game.
Good team.
Brutal stretch of the schedule for Vanderbilt right now. Big test to see if Jerry Stackhouse's group can build on this win. That was a really good win for them, but they need more. Like, this is a big year. They got some older players. Liam Robbins is one of them, and so we'll see if they can hang with the top dogs there.
Yeah, we'll see. This Dallas game, I don't think if they end up losing, which I don't think they will. I mean, we've seen crazier things in the playoffs.
Yeah,
but I don't think it will be because of Mike McCarthy. I don't. I think it will be because of the play of the quarterback. If the quarterback plays well, then they win. If the quarterback doesn't turn the ball over, they win. If he doesn't, if he plays like he did the last game of the season or what we have seen from him since he's come back from that injury, if he's throwing interceptions and fumbling, Dallas is not going to beat Tampa, or it's going to be extremely hard to beat Tampa. But I don't think this game, and I think Jerry understands that.
Yeah.
I think he understands that, you know, Mike McCarthy, is he the greatest coach in the world?
No.
But he's a good coach, and we win because of Dak. We win because Dak plays well. If Dak doesn't play well, we lose. So I believe him when he says, listen, no matter how this game goes, he's my head coach next season. Now, if he does something, you know, i.e. McDaniel or Hackett or whoever coach that has botched games this season, if he does that consistently in the game tonight, then I don't know. You might have to reevaluate what you said.
But, I mean, how can you come out and say that so confidently,
you're right,
so definitively, and then turn around on your word? But I think one theme that I took away from this entire wild card weekend that I'm sick and tired of seeing, and I don't want to see it tonight, I thought the officiating over the weekend was so horrendous.
It was atrocious.
Atrocious. I mean, that the Kirk Cousins pass, roughing the passer last night, horrible call. The ball was still in his hand. It was a fair sack. It was a totally fair sack.
Yeah, I don't
ball
know what
ball was still
they were,
in his hand when he came down.
I don't know
the
what they were calling on that. Oh, and shout outs to TK Terry Killens. He was one of the refs in the Vikings game. I looked up. I'm like, that's TK. Terry Killens played here.
Former Titan.
He was here for I played with him for 3 years out of Penn. He's out of Penn State, and he and I became good friends.
It wasn't him. He didn't make the bad call.
But when I saw his face, I'm like, that's TK. So, you know.
You know, on that note, it just in the whole idea of how could referees be better, I do think if they could lure more former players who played at a high level like Terry Killens to be referees, I think you would probably help overall the way they see the game.
Because you get a feel for the game.
But most – I mean, how many guys do you know you played with that, oh, yeah, I want to go into officiating?
Yeah, not many.
They're much more likely to say, I'm going to go into coaching or broadcasting or, you know, I'm going to coach my son's team or I'm just going to get into business. I want to get away from football. Very few say, yeah, I'm getting right back in there. I'm going to put the stripes on. That's not what – it's a thankless job, right? It's a different –
nobody set out to
job.
Be
yes.
a ref when they join the NFL
yes,
as a player.
And it's not just the NFL. It's all sports, right? I know in hockey – they try to take players, they try to recruit players who at the lower levels of professional or at, you know, high levels of college, they try to get them there. They try to grab them before they go into another walk of life. But they rarely get a former NHL player to become a referee. It just doesn't happen very often. I wish if they could, I don't know if it's the money or it's just, hey, they've been a player, they know what it's like. They've given it to the refs all their life. They don't want to take all that stuff from everybody else. I mean, it's an interesting dynamic, right? But that's, I think sometimes officiating as a whole isn't as good as it could be because of that.
Yeah, and but this weekend, it just made you scratch your head a lot. And it, so much so that, you know, in regards to the false starts, there were a lot of false starts that were not called. And, you know, Tony Dungy put out a tweet, that said basically, you can't tell me that these refs are not seeing these false starts because it's evident that you're getting. And that's why Bosa was so upset. One, he felt he got hold.
He had some
words.
Yeah,
but then two, he was like, that's false start. Like, you got a beat on what I was doing. But it wasn't called.
And they're not going to call everything.
Yeah,
and there are
going to
be things that are missed. But I thought this weekend there were game-altering calls, either missed calls or penalties that I'm like, what the heck are you seeing? Like the roughing the passer on Kirk Cousins. I mean, it's a critical time, 2 minutes left in the game, Giants up by a touchdown, and you call that?
Yeah.
And then the missed block in the back on Mark Andrews on that Cincinnati touchdown. I mean, those are game-altering plays, and all the games
imagine
this weekend.
Imagine they even put the odds on the TV, how altering that one play was.
Uh-huh.
So think about
he pushed the guy in the back and then did his hands like this. I'm like, ref, you're running
the look of guilt.
Exactly. The look of guilt.
Yeah. Like, y'all running right with him. You don't see that? So it's just like, man, you know, it's hard being a ref, man.
It's hard.
Maybe that's why former players
I'm
don't
telling
want to
you,
do
that's it. That's exactly it.
But official predictions tonight, I think the Bucs are going to win. I think Tom Brady and the Bucs pull it out. I don't think they get past San Francisco in the divisional round, but I do think Tom Brady gets done. Tom Brady does Tom Brady things in the playoffs.
I'm going Cowboys. I'm going the other way.
I want to see that rematch, the old rematch of 49ers and Cowboys. I want to see that rematch.
Man, that was a heck of a game last
year. Exactly. So I'm pulling for the Cowboys.
All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Predators in action against the Flames. Puck drop at 7. Stillman & Company is up next. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Peace.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.